that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Many people in our society, many Christians in churches around the world, are doing an autopsy on civilization today because of the death of the family. And I want to object to that. I want to say that you don't write off the family because foolish men have made foolish decisions. It is of great concern to us to find that 60% approximately of the population of Australia have voted in favor of same-sex marriage, and only about 40%, and many of them non-Christians. Most of you saw what part of Sydney it was that voted most strongly in opposition to gay marriage. It was a part of Sydney that has Muslims more than any other group of people. I wonder if God allowed Muslims to come to Australia to stand up that strongly against gay marriage. But many people are saying today, we're finished, it's all over, everything's done. And I want to object to that, because the Lord does not cast away his people. He does not say that we're all finished and civilization is over and churches are destroyed and there's no future for the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. Rather, the Lord gives us in Scripture the remedy for a diseased body, for a world that's gone crazy. He gives us his remedy. The remedy is always found within the circle of God's people. You want to know what the Lord wants to do about the world? Look in the church. Look in the church that's reading the Bible and listening to the Bible. And that's what we've seen this morning as we've read these verses. I'm going to call your attention to one verse in particular that addresses a cause for the condition of our nation in regard to this vote on marriage. I'm calling your attention to verse 23. Would you read it again with me? Follow along. Ephesians 5, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And take note here that the Bible does not say the husband is the head of the family. The Scripture says ever so clearly the husband is the head of the wife. Now, there is a question that is raised by this text. It's a question I don't think I've heard asked in 50 years, 54 years ago, and about 6 months plus, I came to faith in Christ. And to my knowledge, I've not heard anyone ask this question. It is a question that I wrote not long ago to a dear brother who does a great deal of marriage counseling and helps many pastors and many churches and many families with his marriage counseling. His name is Terry Coomer. He's a really faithful brother in the Lord. And I wrote Brother Coomer and said, Brother Coomer, I have a question for you. What is this headship that is referred to in Ephesians 5, verse 23? Have you written anything on this? Do you have any articles on this? Do you have any sermons recorded on this subject, the husband is the head of the wife? He's very diligent. He wrote back almost immediately. He said, Pastor, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't have a sermon on that. I don't have a booklet. I don't have a study. I don't have a course on that subject. But he said, if you'll write to an evangelist by this name, and he gave me his name, he said, I believe he has a really good booklet on it. And so I wrote to him, and he was very diligent again and answered back very quickly. And he said, Brother Smith, I'm sorry. I don't know where Brother Coomer got the idea that I had a booklet on this subject, but I've not written anything about it either. Now, that's a concern to me. When I went on the web and I looked regarding this subject, and then I went into the commentaries and looked regarding this subject, I found a famine, a desert of information. There was virtually nothing written about this. And so it has provoked me to think about this. And I'm going to challenge you this morning. Dads, husbands, are you the head of your wife? The scripture says the husband is the head of his wife. Oh, my. It is a question that needs to be asked. What is this headship? What is the meaning of this verse? In what way is the husband the head of his wife? Fasten your seatbelts. Thank you that none of you have run out the door yet. It's a very important question. It's a question concerning the relationship between husband and wife as God sees the relationship between husband and wife. Now, the ways of the Lord and the thoughts of God are higher than ours. And no matter what thoughts you may have about this subject, what answer you may have in mind regarding this question, God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than yours and higher than mine. The very best thing we can ever do in exercising our hearts will be to say, Lord, this is in your inspired word, infallible, inerrant. Every word of God is pure. I love every word of it. It pierces me through and through. I embrace it. I love it. I want it. I agree with it. No matter how deeply it convicts me and how much it shows me my need of correction, when God's word plainly, clearly tells us a truth, we must embrace it and say, yes, Lord, this is what you are saying to us. Two compatible parts in this passage of Scripture. Husbands are the heads of their wives, and husbands are to love their wives. I want to emphasize that. Can you remember those two things? A husband is to be the head of his wife. A husband is to love his wife. Please don't separate those two. Those two belong together. They cannot be separated. And so there is this truth that is stated here. I want you to turn in your Bible. Sometimes we say there is this whisper that goes on. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There's this whisper that goes on in our hearts. Yes, Pastor, I know. But that's only one verse. And you wouldn't want to build a doctrine on one verse, would you? Please turn in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The apostle here is moved by the Spirit of God to write this. He says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Oh, my. And the head of Christ is God. The Lord tells us here that there is a chain of command. There is an authority structure laid down here. God, referring to the Father, the Lord Jesus, subject to God. The man subject to Christ, and the wife subject to her husband. The woman, the head of the woman, is the man. In fact, go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Brother Floyd does not have a monopoly on the book of Genesis. The rest of us are permitted to read it occasionally without asking permission. He speaks on Sunday nights often on the book of Genesis. If all of a sudden he jumps to Revelation, we'll all have heart attacks. Well, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. The Lord addresses the woman after she and Adam have eaten of the forbidden fruit. And he says to her, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That is a parallel phrase to the husband is the head of his wife. The husband is the head of his wife. Now, what does this word head mean in the Bible? God has given us his word. He uses the words that we're familiar with. This word head appears 334 times in the Bible. Most times, it's referring to that physical member of the body that's at the top. I wonder if I could have a boy come and help me. Does any boys, or any boys that feel willing to help the preacher preach? Titus, you're a good preacher assistant. We don't mind barefooted boys on the platform, do we? I'm going to have Titus stand up here because Titus is blessed with a head. All right? Titus has a head here. And we look at his head and we understand that his head rules his body. We understand that that's where the ruling part of his body resides. All right? Did you know that the head of the body is the only part of the body that has all five senses in one place? Did you know that? He has hearing, he has seeing, he has smelling, he has tasting. And if I were to hold a match close, he would say, because he has touch as well. And this is the only place in the body, those five senses. We can't spend much time here this morning talking about that. But they are intended for him to be able to be aware of his world, of what's going on around. We talk about the five senses being for world consciousness. What's going on around? Now, it would be good this morning. We can't do this. To step aside or to diverge from our thoughts this morning to talk about how the husband, being the head of the wife, is to be aware of everything that's going on in her world and in his world and in the world of the family. And then he's to be alert and awake and not asleep. I wonder if this is the drowsiest generation that's ever lived. And that husbands are relatively unaware of what's going on in the family and in the world that the family lives in. So we have the decision-making apparatus here, and we have the awareness here. Thank you very much. You've helped me with that sermon. Wasn't he a good example? Thank you, Titus. One of these days we want you to be up here in the pulpit and say, Pastor, could you come up and help me with this sermon? I think that would be a really lovely thing. In the scripture, the word head is used probably about 20 times, maybe 30 times, to describe a leader, someone who is the head of the tribes of Israel. 1 Samuel 15, Saul was described that way. It's also used to describe someone that we are to submit to. We see them as being our head. There are many examples. Let me show you one. Hold your place in Ephesians if you're there. And go with me to the book of Daniel. The king in chapter 2 sees a vision of a man made out of metal, gold and silver and brass and iron, and then clay at the bottom mingled with the iron. And when he wonders about this vision, this dream he had, Daniel explains it to him. And we find the comment here in Daniel chapter 2 and in verse number 38 where he says, O king, I want to explain this dream to you. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 38. He says here, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. That's his concept of leadership, of being a ruler. And then the last phrase of verse 38, thou art this head of gold. So this image, four metals, the head of gold, Daniel says God has revealed that you are the one who is the leader. You are in charge of your nation and many other nations. Turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Colossians. The most perfect example of headship. I hope you can embrace that term. The most perfect example of headship is here in Colossians chapter 1, where it refers to the Lord Jesus. And it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, he says to the Christians, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's a really powerful verse, because the Lord is saying there that the Lord Jesus has all power, Matthew 28, verse 18, all power given unto him in heaven and in earth. And that word power there is the word for authority. All authority presently resides in the Lord Jesus. He is the head of all principality and power. That's a little bit of an insight into what this word head means. Well, then let me ask you a second question. Why is this truth? The husband is the head of the wife. Why is this truth absent in our world today? Why is it that it's absent in churches? Why is it that it's absent in homes, in families? Why is it that little boys growing up don't know this? They don't learn this. Why is it little girls growing up don't know this? How is it that mothers do not know this? Wives do not know this? How is it that husbands have lost this? And we no longer know that the Scripture teaches that the husband is the head of the wife. How is it? You know, how many of you have ever heard that you can boil a bullfrog if you go at it slow enough? Any of you ever heard that? If you take a double boiler, a pan with some water in it, and a pan set in that with some more water in it, and you put a bullfrog in there, and he's cold-blooded, his temperature is going to adjust to his circumstances, and then you put the pans on a burner, and you turn the heat on ever so slowly, and very gradually you raise the temperature in the water in the bottom pan, and very gradually it raises the temperature in the top pan. That old bullfrog will sit there as happy as Larry. Just sit there and wait and wait and wait until the temperature rises high enough to boil the bullfrog, and he'll never jump out of the pan. Because the changes have been so gradual. It's incremental temperature change. And he sat there and waited while his circumstances got to the place where it took his life, and he never realized what was happening. 50 or 60 years ago, I became a Christian. At that time, I think this truth was still extant. It was still in present. It was present in churches that the husband is the head of the wife. But over the last 50 or 60 years ago, the movement to produce what was called equality in marriage, or marriage equality, I hope I don't hurt your feelings too badly, but feminism became part of our society and part of the philosophy of our world. Some wag said that Adam's rib and Satan's fib makes women's lib. Well, talk to him about that. If you're offended with anybody, be offended with him. But the simple fact is that the structure God laid out in his word for the relationship between husband and wife began to change. Just recently, some of you were aware, I'm sure, that the 60 Minutes program that despised many good churches and many good ministries because of the foolishness of one pastor, you probably saw that, ridiculed and despised and made many good churches look foolish, that despising of the biblical order that was misused by one man and maybe by others certainly does not represent what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the husband is the head of the wife. Come back with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You will see here in this chapter that there are three words used in English that describe this matter of the headship of the husband. In verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Not someone else's husband. Unto your own husbands. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And then in verse 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be, we can say, be subject to their own husbands in everything. And notice again, it's to their own husbands, not someone else's husband. And then in verse 33, we see here, nevertheless, let every one of you husbands, in particular, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So we have three words in English, submit, subject, and reverence. Here's something interesting for you. Our translators translated the word in the original New Testament, hupotasso. They translated that word in one verse to be submit, another verse to be subject. And those are words that are talking to us here about the importance of being in proper order and proper relationship one to another. The word subject or submit means simply to find my place in God's order and be content with my place in God's order. How many of you husbands would be willing to bear children, bring children into the world? Any of you husbands stupid enough to say yes? I hope you would all say no way. God gave that job to my wife. How many of you wives would say, I would rule my husband. I would make the decisions for my family. I told Troy the other day that two fellows at work were talking, and one of them said, my wife makes the little decisions and I make the small decisions. I mean, she makes the little decision, I'll make the big decision. I'll get it right in a minute. The other fellow said to him, like what? Well, she decides when we buy a new car, do we need to sell this house, buy another house? Do I need to change jobs? Do we move to another city? He said, man, those are big decisions. If you let her make those decisions, what decisions do you make? He said, I decide things like, do we go to war against North Korea and things like that. I'm telling you, dear friends, God's word tells us ever so clearly in the choices of the words that he has given us here. Take the word reverence in verse 33. That word is the word phobia. Uh-oh, somebody just hit the dashboard. Well, it doesn't mean to crawl under the table in fear and trembling when your husband walks in the door. That's not what he's talking about. It's talking about respect. It's talking about reverence. It's talking about recognizing that God has set the husband as the head of the wife. And the wife says, good. That takes the burdens off. Sometimes my sweetheart will come to me and she'll say, oh, I've got this big worry. I've got somebody leaning on me and they're trying to make it do this and do that and do the other. I said, send them to me. Send them to me. And she says, oh, good. Because I can be grouchy and it doesn't bother my conscience at all. You husbands feel that way? I hope you can do that, and I hope it's not at your wife. I hope it's somebody giving your wife a hard time. Well, why? So within marriage, what does it mean for a man to be the head of his wife? Number one, it means that they embrace God's order. God said it is to be this way. Husbands, you may need to go home and talk to your wife, and you may need to say, we've gotten slack in this regard. I have gotten lazy. I've been drifting along. I've been more interested in computer games or going fishing or lying around sleeping. I've been more interested in leisure time while you work your fingers to the bone. And I have not been the head of my wife. Beginning today, we're going to work on that. Wives, you may need to say to your husband, I have unintentionally taken areas of responsibility that really are your responsibility. And I want you to be the head, and I will be your wife, and you will lead, and I will follow. You make the decisions. Dear friends, can I tell you something? I am desperately worried. I hear alarms going off, and I see red lights flashing, and sirens are screaming. Whenever I hear a Christian wife say, I make the decisions in our home. Oh, be fearful. Do you know what you're training your daughters to do? Do you know what you're training your sons to do? Do you know how you are emasculating your husband and taking away from him his virility and his strength and his character? God set the man to be the head of the wife. Don't be a wuss, men. Stand up and be strong for the Lord. Now, I also need to make a word of warning here, give a word of warning. I don't know how many homes, how many marriages I've seen wrecked when a husband comes home and begins to put his foot down in a wrong way. I remember a young couple coming to church with us in Texas one time years ago, and he heard a message on this and went home and applied it entirely wrongly and completely destroyed his marriage, and they were split up very shortly. What does the Bible really say about a husband being the head of his wife? What kind of head am I to be? Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me here. There are about seven characteristics of a husband that is a good head to his wife. Number one, in verse 23, it is a saving headship. He is the savior of the body. A husband who is a good head is delivering, rescuing, uplifting. He's the hero in the family. He's leading in a way where the wife feels secure and helped and blessed. The second thing we notice in verse number 25 is that he is a loving head to his wife. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. What an example we have in the Lord Jesus. He is a sacrificing head. He puts his wife before himself. He gave himself for it in verse 25. I need to stop here just a minute. Husbands, do you remember your wife's birthday? Do you need me to ring you up when your anniversary comes around? Do you remember those events? Do you ever buy your wife anything? Do you ever spend lavishly on your wife? Shame on you if you don't. Bill Rice, the evangelist, told about going to visit a pastor one time, and this pastor was a friend of his, and he said, "Oh, Brother Bill, I've got to show you what I bought. I bought myself a fishing boat. And look at that outboard motor there. And then look at these fishing rods here. And when deer season was on, I bought myself a deer rifle. Look at this deer rifle I've got here." And he began to go and show him all the things he'd bought for himself. And Bill Rice said to him, "And what did you buy for your wife?" He said, "I got her a new ironing board cover." Now, I don't know what Bill Rice's response to that was, but he should have said to him, "You mongrel, you low-down rat bag." I want to tell you, fellas, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we buy things for ourselves and we do things for ourselves and we never think of our wives. We don't think about surprising her with love gifts, extravagant love gifts, to show her how much she means to us. And so the sacrifice of a man who is a good head to his wife is making sacrifices for his wife every day. How long has it been since you washed the dishes for your wife? How long has it been since you hung out the clothes on the clothesline and brought them in? How long has it been since you took the rubbish out for your wife? How long has it been since you shaved in the bathroom and then tidied up after yourself? Ha! How long has it been since you did that? How long has it been since you picked up after yourself? Kevin Lehman wrote a book called The Birth Order Book. Said to his wife one day, I've got no socks in my drawers, in my chest of drawers. And she said, come here. Took him over by the bed. You see that? She said, you see that pile of dirty socks there? He said, yes. She said, when you get enough energy up to put those in the dirty clothes, I'll wash them and we'll put them back in the drawer. Lazy husbands. For shame. A sacrificing, a loving husband. And then we go further. We find here that he's a purifying husband in verse number 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Are you the kind of husband that your wife grows in the Lord and she's purer and sweeter in the Lord because of your spiritual leadership? Who's the spiritual leader in your house? You ever do devotions? Oh, you're too busy. Shame, shame, shame. And then when it comes to the next one in verse number 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. The word nourish has to do with bringing up to spiritual maturity. I want to tell you a little secret. In your house, you're the spiritual leader, Dad. And you are to do everything you can to help your wife grow in the Lord. And then when we come to the word cherish, the word cherish means to keep warm. Now, that's a nice thing. We like to keep our wives warm. If you've got anything to you, you like to keep your wife warm. But this is a word that means to be sure she has what she needs. It's not just physical warmth she needs. Oftentimes, she needs heart warmth. And she needs warmth for the mind and warmth for her emotions. And we husbands can be so hard and so unfeeling, so without care toward our wives. That's what's involved in being a good head to your wife. And then the last one is here in verse number 31 for husbands. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That word joined is the word glue. It's often translated in the New Testament by the word cleave. Boy, it's the idea that the strongest glue in the world ought to be those bonds that are between a husband and his wife. And he is the head that involves and he practices this matter of being clinging to his wife and staying with his wife and never forsaking his wife for any other person. This is the one for me. And stay with her. Did you know, friends, that's what good headship is all about? Good headship has to do with those seven things. Has to do with being a saving relationship and a loving relationship and a sacrificing relationship and a purifying relationship, a nourishing relationship, a cherishing relationship, and a relationship that involves being joined, being glued to each other. I wish we had time this morning. We're out of time. I wish we had time this morning to go and look at some examples of this in the Bible. One of my heroes in the Bible is Boaz in the book of Ruth. I look forward so much to meeting these Bible characters in heaven. And I like to talk to Boaz and tell him, you know, Boaz, you were a great example to me in regard to being the head of my wife, to being a loving, serving, sacrificing, caring, nourishing, caring, cherishing, sanctifying, purifying, someone that joined his wife, that was joined to his wife, and was a faithful husband. Great example to us. Go and read the book of Ruth. Four chapters. Wonderful reading. Well, there's a challenge here for us this morning. Do you know where the destruction of families in our world begins? It begins in the church. It begins in Christian families. It begins with husbands who are not the heads of their wives. It begins with husbands who are willing for the wife to rule the house. I want to speak to you soon. I think we'll do this on a Sunday morning. I want to speak to you on when Jezebel marries Diotrephes. Because when you read the account of Jezebel in the Bible, she and Diotrephes in 3 John or very similar. Jezebel was someone who did not minister to others. She manipulated others. And she only got away with it because Ahab was not the head of his wife. Oh, friends, take this on board. Take these things on board. Husbands, by God's grace, be the loving, sacrificing, sanctifying, all those other qualities. Be the head of your wife in that regard. Not as an abusive husband, not as someone who treats the wife badly. No, be the best possible husband you could ever be. Young men, you make plans to get married? Have a word with Aiden. He needs all the advice he can get. You make plans to get married? Plan on being the right kind of head to your wife. Girls, you want to get married? Don't take the first tall, dark, and bow-legged fellow that comes along. You say, I want one that's going to be the head of the wife in a biblical way. We pray, Heavenly Father, when we look around at our world and how it's fallen apart, we see civilization collapsing around us, and we understand that it may have to do with the approaching return of the Lord Jesus. But then, Lord, you might tarry your coming for 1,000 years. And we have this awesome responsibility. Husbands taking on the headship of the wife. And wives submitting. Husbands loving their wives. And wives obeying. Now we're asking, Father, for the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. Be someone here this morning, possibly, Lord, that can't do this because they're not saved and they don't have your help. Well, those of us who know you, we need to do this. We're praying for any outside Christ that they will know the Lord Jesus and rejoice in full salvation. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.